This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Kamala Harris campaign out with a new ad using comedian Tony Hinchcliffe's comments at the Trump rally in New York last night. He called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Without an official endorsement, Puerto Rican music artist Bad Bunny sharing posts online in support for Harris for president, as are Puerto Ricans J-Lo, Mark Anthony. Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Their closing argument last night was clear to the rest of the world. It's about hate. It's about division. It's about dividing us. Kamala Harris is out here making the case, as I am with all of you, that this is a new way forward, an opportunity to be the president for all Americans.
Ballot box fires in Portland, Oregon and Vancouver, Washington look similar, says a police spokesman in Portland. NATO confirming North Korean troops have been sent to Russia to fight alongside Russian troops in Russia's Kursk region, which Ukrainian troops occupy. This is ABC News. Despite heavy penalties for shining high-intensity lights at flying aircraft, pilots continue to report laser strikes.
The reports come from pilots of small planes.
Yeah, we're getting the green laser right now.
Commercial jetliners.
We just encountered a laser 3 miles.
Even military aircraft.
Green laser.
Green laser, okay.
The audio from liveatc.net. Houston Sheriff's helicopter pilot David Wren says,
if they're in takeoff, landing, or coming in for an approach, and they have no reference to the ground, they could crash.
So far this year, 9,000 laser strikes have been reported to the FAA. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Hundreds of Pepsi workers are being laid off after the company decided to close a Chicago plant. Truck driver Eric Gadsden says workers found out after they arrived at work this morning.
Being 58 years old, it's like starting all over again. It's going to be hard.
Pepsi's agreed to continue paying benefits through the end of December, says they're working to support employees during the transition. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers stopped the Jaguars.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with another come-from-behind victory, beating the Jaguars 30-27 with a winning field goal after Jordan Love had to exit the game with a leg injury. Running back Josh Jacobs took over with 127 yards rushing on 25 carries, scoring two touchdowns. But Jacobs says the offense could have done better.
I felt like we should have closed the game out. I felt like we should have executed better. I felt like it shouldn't have been that type of fight at the end. But being able to be in that position and still come out with a win, I think it speaks volumes to this team.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers now 5-3 after losing to Penn State 28-13 Saturday night. Up next, the Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Nets in Brooklyn 115-102. Milwaukee now 1-2 on the season after losing the home opener to the Chicago Bulls. Head coach Doc Rivers asked if he needs to address the team.
It depends how you pitch your spots. And we got to get right first. You can yell all you want. If you're not playing right, it doesn't matter.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It seems like it's taken forever, but there might be a Speed 3. See what I did there? In a recent chat with The Hollywood Reporter, 20th Century Studios' Steve Asbell gave the movie-going public hope when it comes to more sequels destined for the big screen in the near future. Asbell says he is open to Speed 3 if it's a great idea, but that the studio will definitely pursue another Alien and says there will be a new Predator film in theaters in 2025 as well. Asbell also added there would be most likely another Alien versus Predator. Thanks, but not really necessary. necessary, Steve. Looking for something new to watch as the Halloween season winds down? Check out Bad Monkey on Apple TV. It took me a while to warm up to it, but it is a good show and keeps you guessing. Vince Vaughn basically plays himself, but this time he's named Andrew Yancey, a disgraced detective in Miami trying to solve a case in which a severed arm is found with the middle finger of the hand extended. A funny gimmick, but the story unfolds nicely and the characters are interesting. Give it a watch. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, warm, a low near 60. And a mix of sun and clouds and staying mild tomorrow, high around 80. Showers around Tuesday night and Wednesday, breezy and colder. Temps fall out of the 70s in the morning to the 50s by evening. Currently at 64 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mary Hayes is the chair of the Chequamegon Democrats for Bayfield and Ashland counties. Going to get a little update with her. We will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Hidney Cup gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Haley, I went to see Stevie Wonder last night.
Oh, how was it?
It's always a spiritual experience. What was interesting, I don't remember him doing this in the last time I saw him, he was doing a playback of an album from the 70s, did all the music from there. And this time he played everything we wanted to, and there was a new song, but he also had a lot of stories in between. And it was also really exciting that these stories had to do with getting out the boat and you know, all of us getting along together again after this election.
Wow, that is something I'm looking forward to, and no better way than to get in that feeling than listen to some Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, we try here at Native Roots Radio to just kind of, you know, talk about a lot of different things, and of course we can't stop talking about what's happening to communities via election. So we do that, but we do a lot of other things too here. And it's good because I know a lot of people have that election fatigue happening, and I can't wait until this election's over, but I know a lot of the work's going to start either afterwards, or we're going to have some serious issues. You know, I don't plan on flying anytime soon and after the election, and we're going to have to see what shakes out. We need a blue tsunami to really to make things go smoother. So everyone get out and vote. I wanted to say that real quick.
Yeah, I want a quick reminder, too. We have 8 days left until the election, so if you're planning on mailing your ballot in or voting by mail, make sure you do that within the next day. They recommend sending that in at least a week before election day, so you'll definitely want to get on that. And, yeah, coming up, I know a lot of people are anxious, including myself, so it's a good reminder to put out there, too, to just take care of your mental health, take care of your physical health, do things that make you happy, and let's take care of ourselves, too, and our relatives as we await this.
Yeah, definitely. I like to say we have 7 days and change.
Yeah,
I heard
really
somebody
do,
say that, but it's not the full eight, especially now that when we're on the air. But, yeah, it's a thing for sure. And to put some tobacco out there and really, really, you know, put some tobacco out there and pray for good things. Yeah. I don't know how, I really feel really good about this, but we can talk about that a little more, maybe with Dr. Stately. What did you end up doing this weekend?
What did I do this weekend? You know, I was just kind of hanging low and trying to rest up for next week, I guess, but doing things that make me happy, I guess. I started to get into a little hobby here. I've been having a great teacher teach me how to bead, so I've been working on my first felt hat, which is exciting, and yeah, just kind of hanging out. I saw that the Bad River film documentary won Best Documentary at the Environmental Media Awards, wow, which I didn't even realize that that was a thing, Environmental Media Awards, but that's super cool.
That was between each bead that you were putting in your hat.
Yeah.
That they won that award.
I hope so.
It's just like, hey. Yeah. That's awesome. And again, that'll be coming up on a couple different formats. The Bad River documentary real soon, I think November, right?
Yeah, November 1st, it'll be on Comcast and Peacock. But yeah, it's really cool. So that's the Bad River documentary is co-narrated and executive produced by Quanah Chasing Horse. And she accepted the award alongside a couple others this weekend, but she was dressed wearing Red Berry Woman.
Yeah.
And we've had that designer on our show, Norma Flying Horse. So shout out to Red Berry Woman. She's always making us natives look really fly, yeah, especially for those red carpets. But yeah, I know that the Bad River film documentary is also up for a Critics' Choice Award, and you can catch that in January of 2025. But yeah, it will be released on Peacock and Comcast on the 1st. And if you're interested in learning more about the process of that documentary, I would suggest looking at our interview with the producer and director, Mary Mazzio, who was just very fabulous to have on the show. And I think that was back on August 15th.
Yeah, I think so, too. According to my records. No. Yeah, it was around then. And I know you keep track of what's going on. And yeah, it was a great interview. Yeah, it was a great interview. Hey, we got I know something that's near and dear to my heart is New Native Theater. There's some things coming up on that, on that realm too.
Yeah, so they have like kind of a shorter series of this show, I guess, that they're doing is called Fallen Stars, The Watchovers, and you can catch it at the Minneapolis American Indian Center beginning this week, October 30th, and it does run through November 3rd. But I know that November 3rd show is sold out already.
Wow.
So, yeah, you'll have to check it out. For times and tickets, you can check out newnativetheater.org.
Wow. Excellent. Excellent. And, you know, we're sad. And I was just telling somebody today, I have a chance to visit once a week in Minneapolis at the Four Sisters Farmers Market. And that's coming to a close.
It is. I can't believe how fast it kind of wrapped up. Maybe it's election season here, too, also, that just kind of feels like things are speeding along. But, yeah, the last wrap-up of the Four Sisters Farmers Market will be this Thursday at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Wacheca, I might be saying this wrong, Wacheca Records, our friend Justice, who's also been on the show, he's going to be spinning some DJ stuff. So there's going to be live music and a bunch of fun stuff going on.
Yeah, wasn't he the young dude that was doing a lot of Native music, spinning a lot of older Native music?
Yeah, he would go find these older Native artists and like their records and like refurbish them and kind of like present them in a new way and kind of like bring life back into them, which is really cool.
That is cool. It is cool. We got to have him back on and maybe spin a few.
Yeah.
Been a few for us, especially when we go 2 hours, we'll have to have him on an hour a week. So,
yeah. He was at the Owamni Falling Water Festival, too. He always has good jams going.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get there until a little later because it was raining, but.
Oh, yeah, this year. Yep.
Yeah. It was a little chilly, too. I did a rare special guest appearance and walked through and saw a few friends and gave him a big ho-wa.
There you go. Show up and support.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's always fun. The Falling Water Festival is a good one to check out. But yeah, up next, we're going to have Dr. Stately on for a segment. And then we're going to have our friends on from MnDOT, the Minnesota Department of Transportation, Emma and Rita.
Well, what a jam-packed show and what a way to start out Monday. And Always love talking to Dr. Stately. We have a lot of, you know, he's in community, he's a doer, and we're really, you know, blessed to have him on and see what's going on and just to get the vibe of what's happening here in Indian country, here in the Midwest and Twin Cities especially. I guess we're going to take a break here in a minute or so. I'm going to play a little bumper music here because when I do that, Haley, I feel like I'm in control. Is that right or wrong?
Go ahead.
Is that good of me?
Stay with us.
Do I need to talk to my therapist about that?
No, I don't think so. It's your show.
Right on. Hey, good. Hey, this is Native. I'll do it in my DJ voice. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I Am Awake.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll be right
please
back.
Please stay with us.
Yeah, please, he says. Please. We'll be right back.
This November, we have a clear choice for who's truly fighting for our Indigenous communities in Minnesota. Democrats created the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, made college tuition free for Native scholars, and legally affirmed our Native sovereignty. By signing co-stewardship agreements to manage federal lands, we return the lands of the Upper Sioux State Park to the Upper Sioux Tribe and over 11,000 acres back to the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwa. This November, vote for the party that stands with our community. Vote Democrat.
Paid for by the Minnesota Democrat Farmer Labor Party.
For everything you need to know about voting in Minnesota, visit the Secretary of State's website at mnvotes.org. Find out where to vote, check registration status, and view sample ballots. Again, for all your voting information, go to mnvotes.org.
Indigenous communities face severe threats from pollution impacting both the air we breathe and the water we cherish. Pipelines, mines, and waste incinerators near our homes lead to higher rates of asthma, diabetes, and heart disease. In the Twin Cities, Native and Black communities experience over twice the rate of asthma. Let's not forget that water is life. It's something we must protect as a vital resource and way of life. In Minneapolis, our vote helped close the Smith Foundry and bituminous roadways. Let's continue using our vote to fight for climate justice. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, empowers Native communities by increasing voter turnout and supporting conversations about critical issues like clean air, water, and health. By getting involved, we shape the policies that protect our families and environment. Find your nearest polling location at sos.state.mn.us. Let's make voting a tradition for future generations. That's sos.state.mn.us.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by a Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, the CEO and president of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're always great to see you. Dr. Stately, you know, there's only 7 days and change left. And I know a lot of people out there are having some issues with keeping their mental health going with this stress and this, it's crazy. Welcome for coming on. And I wonder if we can talk a little bit about a little mental health here.
Sure. I'm assuming that you're talking about the election and not necessarily the end of fall.
Yeah, I'm a little sleepy. So yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is going to be, I mean, yeah, we've got 7 days left, right, before the election. And I know that people are really stressed out about it. I think that there's a lot of people who are feeling anxious, you know. it feels like the closer we get and the more the tight the race gets, the vitriol and the from the from the MAGA sort of movement is just really challenging. So I honestly will tell you, like, I have not been listening to a lot of it on, because I've met my threshold for it, I think. And then also I just have like other things that are, I'm paying attention to. I haven't voted. I actually considered going to my poll earlier this morning because I was concerned. I had this moment where I was like, what if I can't get there? Kind of thing. So then I had this moment like, well, I think maybe I'll try to do early voting this week just because I have a really tight week and weekend coming up next week. And, something always kind of comes up. I always think like, oh, I'll get to it. I'll do this. I'll do that. And I have multiple ways of managing like that. And then I don't want to be stressed on election day. I want to just go in and cast my vote. And so, I mean, I might do it the day before because I think you can do early voting right up till the day before the election. So
yeah,
that would be easier on my, my system and also my mind and my heart. So
yeah, well, we had the governor's Gwen Walls on, and she kind of convinced a few people that to vote early because you just don't know what's going to happen that day too. So
yeah,
that kind of scared me when she said that, but because it made sense.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I think people are anxious because, you know, the orange one has made like veiled threats, and you know, he's always like there's gonna be massive violence and things, and who absolutely knows like what's possible. I'm talking for myself personally, just about like my ability to actually get there because of how busy I am. You know, I'm like essentially a single parent in so many ways, and also like I have a big plate of activity and jobs on my plate at work. And I don't want to get distracted. I don't want to have something happen. I don't want something to kind of just to take that time away from me. So if I have a moment between now and the next few days, I'll probably just go cast my vote in the morning before I go to come to work. But I wanted to talk about this other issue. I think I'm not good. Like, so you might've heard over the weekend that there was a shooting in an encampment that was nearby the clinic where I work. And I just wanted to like remind people like, you know, to say prayers for the people who are living in situations and conditions that are much worse than our own, right? If we have, you know, the ability to do that, say some prayers for the people who are living unsheltered. You know, here we are, and it's a good solid 6 years since the Wall of Forgotten Natives and encampments have not ended, right? I think people think, and people all over the place doing victory laps, thinking that we've ended homelessness. I read a recent article and it said, according to the last, the 2023 homeless count in the state of Minnesota and Hennepin County specifically, that there was, about 7 out of 10 people who are living unsheltered during that period of time. And that's, it's certainly only one slice of moment in time, but I think, you know, my lived experiences is that what I'm seeing certainly jives with what I experience every day coming to work and working in the community I work in. But 7 out of 10 people are Indigenous or Black, right? And the scale of houselessness in our state and in our region, and certainly in the city that I serve people in, as the leader of this organization, it's consistent with what my experience is. And it's so frustrating. But over the weekend, we had a shooting in the encampment, and three of our folks who kind of come to our street outreach team, and our street outreach team and our harm reduction team works really closely with them. They have a really good relationship with them. Were shot. One of them passed away. And I heard today we had a spirit fire for them at the clinic today for our community and also for our staff who are deeply, deeply connected to these individuals because they see them every single day or at least once or twice a week. And, we said some prayers for those people who were harmed and who also, who died. I learned today, just today, from one of my staff that works in the encampment, that the one who died is the twin of another, and his brother is the other one that got shot. So when I heard that, I like literally, like I could have like been knocked over with a strong wind, because I like a feather, because I was just like, as the father of twins, I was just heartbroken. This moment I heard it, I was like, oh my God, because I remember the one time that my kids were separated from each other when they were much younger. It was like the most painful experience for my child. He was like, one of my sons went with me out of town and the other one stayed with a relative in Minneapolis so he could dance in the powwow. And my son that was with me was like crying at night. He was like, I miss my brother. You know, I made a bad choice. And, you know, and they never go anywhere without each other. They're like always together, right? And so I just had this pain in my heart thinking like that the surviving twin has to walk the rest of his journey of his life without his Chegba, his twin, you know, the other half of him, right? Wow. And I just know how painful that has to be. And I just think my prayers go out to his family and the people who love him, and just know that it's going to be a really hard journey. So,
yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's really sad. And I like how you brought up the fact that people think that after the Wall of Forgotten Natives that things have been fixed, and really they haven't.
Yeah, at all. No, far from it. Far from it, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, the number of people who live unsheltered continues to grow in, you know, places like Hennepin County. And those numbers continue primarily around people of color, and specifically Indigenous people. We are, you know, significantly greater risk for becoming homeless.
Yeah, that's prayers to them and also the workers. And that's one of the things I think a lot of people don't realize is that you have workers that are, you know, intimately involved with our unsheltered relatives. That's something that we need to talk about more.
Yeah. And, you know, the vulnerability that they face every single day, you know. I had a moment on Saturday night when I heard on NPR, like it was, you know, I think because the shooting was really early in the morning on Saturday, like, you know, or wee hours of the night. And I heard Saturday, like late morning, early afternoon about the shooting on NPR. And my first thought was like, oh my God, because I have relatives in the encampments. And then my first thought was like, oh, please don't let it be, you know, please don't let it be my nephew. You know, please don't let it. And, you know, well, and the reality is that, you know, that boy was 20 years old. He's somebody's nephew. He's my relative, you know, he's like, because we're all related. These children are all of our children, right?
And so, right.
It's just heartbreaking, tremendously heartbreaking. So.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to talk about too. And I appreciate you talking real to our listeners, and that's at daily happenings for our unsheltered, and again, the people that work with our unsheltered. That's a daily thing.
And I think it's hard. I think generally people have a difficult heart. They have difficulty, sort of like interacting with people who are unsheltered or people who are living on the street and struggling with a drug addiction, right? And I know it's difficult. And I think one of the things, I mean, I have my brother sometimes has told me, like, I see my daughter and it's really hard for me to have an interaction with her. I have like, and I said, you know, just hug them and tell them that you love them. Like, you don't have to try to fix the condition for them. You don't have to do, you know, buy them something to eat if you don't want to give them money or whatever, but just like, most importantly, let them know that they matter and tell them.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Kamala Harris campaign out with a new ad using comedian Tony Hinchcliffe's comments at the Trump rally in New York last night. He called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Without an official endorsement, Puerto Rican music artist Bad Bunny sharing posts online in support for Harris for president, as are Puerto Rican's J-Lo, Mark Anthony. Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Their closing argument last night was clear to the rest of the world. It's about hate. It's about division. It's about dividing us. Kamala Harris is out here making the case, as I am with all of you, that this is a new way forward, an opportunity to beat the president for all Americans.
Ballot box fires in Portland, Oregon and Vancouver, Washington look similar, says a police spokesman in Portland. NATO confirming North Korean troops have been sent to Russia to fight alongside Russian troops in Russia's Kursk region, which Ukrainian troops occupy. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Packers stop the Jaguars.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with another come-from-behind victory, beating the Jaguars 30-27 with a winning field goal after Jordan Love had to exit the game with a leg injury. Running back Josh Jacobs took over with 127 yards rushing on 25 carries, scoring two touchdowns. But Jacobs says the offense could have done better.
I felt like we should have closed the game out. I felt like we should have executed better. I felt like it shouldn't have been that type of fight at the end. But being able to be in that position and still come out with a win, I think it speaks volumes to this team.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers now 5-3 after losing to Penn State 28-13 Saturday night. Up next, the Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Nets in Brooklyn 115-102. Milwaukee now 1-2 on the season after losing the home opener to the Chicago Bulls. Head coach Doc Rivers asked if he needs to address the team.
It depends how you pitch your spots. And we got to get right first. You can yell all you want. If you're not playing right, it doesn't matter.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Matthew Perry died over a year ago, but the story is still very much in the news. Variety reports that Perry's family is taking legal action against the doctors and those who supplied him with ketamine. Perry's mother and stepfather and three siblings appeared on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and discussed the pending 2025 trial against two of the parties that supplied the drugs to Perry. Charges were brought after a joint LAPD-DEA investigation into Perry's death. What could possibly be more fun than a Timothée Chalamet look-alike contest in New York City? How about Timothée Chalamet actually crashing the party? The actor showed up incognito at first to a sea of young men who looked similar and surprised everybody when he removed sunglasses and a mask, then posed for selfies with contestants. The contest was promoted by the use of flyers over the last few weeks. The winner was to receive a $50 prize. Seems kind of lame. In case you're wondering, the actual Timothée Chalamet took third place. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, warm, a low near 60. And a mix of sun and clouds and staying mild tomorrow, high around 80. Showers around Tuesday night and Wednesday, breezy and colder. Temps fall out of the 70s in the morning to the 50s by evening. Currently at 64 degrees.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we share a teaser for the new show, Wabino Volunteer Fire. Tim McCormick from the Harley-Davidson Museum joins to talk the 115th anniversary and Wisconsin-based comedian, Dobie Maxwell.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Strong Hearts offers culturally appropriate support and advocacy for Native Americans. You can call or text them at 1-844-7-NATIVE or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
Hey, thank you, Haley. Hey, we have a couple guests from MnDOT, Minnesota Department of Transportation. We have Emma and Rita. And I'm wondering, Emma, if you don't mind, and then Rita, introduce yourselves and tell us what position you are with MnDOT. And welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thanks for having me. Okay, I'm Emma Brown. I work in human resources as an outreach and recruitment coordinator for Minnesota Department of Transportation in District 2, so up in the Bemidji area.
Oh, cool. Rita, do you mind introducing yourself?
Absolutely. Hello, everybody. Thank you for having us. My name is Rita Karpinen, and I work in the Office of Tribal Affairs as a tribal state relations training specialist. And my I work in central office, but I get the opportunity to work from home.
Well, that's awesome. Tell us a little bit about what we're doing here. We're talking a little bit about MnDOT and maybe some opportunities for people listening, and especially our Native community, to learn more about MnDOT. And, you know, I'd ask Emma, what drew you to this work?
So I guess I was drawn to this job because I seen a job opening, and it was within human resources, and that was kind of my background I was coming from. And so I thought, I was like, well, I might as well give it a try. You know, I've never worked for the state before. And so I honestly kind of didn't think I would get in, but I actually did. I interviewed really well and was offered the position, and so I decided to take it.
Wow, and that's awesome. You know, from previous conversations we've had with employers from MnDOT, such as Levi or Wapan, we've learned that on Native Roots Radio that MnDOT supplies other jobs other than snow plowing, filling potholes. Can you describe some of the jobs to our listeners? Emma?
Sure. We have lots of positions. Yep. We have positions available in real estate, which would be working with right-of-way accesses. Also bridge design, CAD design, general maintenance workers, surveys, positions in communications, heavy equipment mechanic, and then, you know, also positions within accounting, business, human resources, lots of a wide variety.
It is a wide variety. Rita, are there any job openings now do you know of, and we can blast out to our listeners, our Native listeners out there?
You know, I'm not well informed on the positions that we have available, but I know that we certainly do. I would defer it to my colleague Emma to see it, to know if there's any vacancies open at the moment.
Yeah, thanks, Rita. Emma, sorry, that question was mostly for you. What kind of openings and jobs are out there now that are available? And that's to you, Emma.
Oh, to me? Oh, okay. Yeah, we have, I feel like MnDOT is always hiring. So I was just kind of counting today, there's like 52 open positions within the DOT, but then there's also tons of positions open statewide. So currently up in our district, we only have a couple positions available. One is working in our Bemidji office as a transportation generalist. And so that's a highway maintenance, also deals with snow and ice. So both summer and winter, all year round. And then we also have a real estate associate position available. And we just closed a lot of our temporary winter positions. But coming up springtime, we'll be looking for, our spring temporary highway maintenance positions.
What is the job in real estate? What does that include? What's the definition of that?
Well, from my understanding, it's a position that works mostly with the right of way. So, you know, when MnDOT has to, I think they have a lot of right of way properties, and I'm not like too big of an expert on it, but that's just what my understanding was.
Well, one of the exciting things that I've heard too, and maybe you can help me with this, Emma, is that there are also part-time jobs out there, state part-time jobs. I did not know that.
Yep. Yeah. Like a lot of our, winter, temporary positions. I mean, they're full-time hours, but they're, for like 6 months at a time. But then yes, we do have some part-time jobs available.
Rita,
a lot of them too, with another,
Oh, go ahead. No, I cut you off. Go ahead, Emma.
Oh, I was just going to say there's a lot of part-time jobs too for, other organizations across the state, such as the Department of Veterans Affairs, Human Services, Health. So,
yeah.
Some examples.
That's great examples. Rita, one of the things that we love to talk about when it works for the state is like the benefits and retirement, things that, people, younger people don't think of, but it's something they should, because it's a great way to work and work for the future.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the reasons why I pursued a position with MnDOT and with the state. I have four young children at home. So having stable and health insurance, dental insurance, and all the benefits of like pension and additional retirement opportunities is really important to me. So that has been... it's been super great. I've always have had the opportunity to provide health insurance for my family, but the state it's one of the many benefits of working with the state.
Yeah, talk about more. Why should natives want to work for the state? Let our audience know that.
Sure. Well, I can share a little bit about me personally. I worked for my tribal nation prior to transitioning to the state. And, one of the reasons why I chose to pursue a career at MnDOT was to have the opportunity to serve and work with the 11 sovereign federally recognized tribes that share geography with Minnesota. So the position in Office of Tribal Affairs was a really good fit, especially working alongside the Tribal State Relations training team, where we train state employees about the history and kind of like the life ways of our tribal nations. And we get to visit and host trainings on tribal lands in Minnesota. So that really drew me to MnDOT as a whole. And just the training content is really fulfilling. But I'm the type of person that, goes out and tries things. So I always like to promote that if there's an opportunity, why not try it? Cause you never know where it's going to lead you. And so far it's been an amazing ride.
Well, and that's another thing, is once you are a state employee, you can apply for other jobs, within the state too. And you kind of find out right away. And maybe if the job you have isn't a fit, you can go somewhere else or move up. Or there's ways to, move up in the state.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities. I think you're right. If a position isn't the fit that you thought it was going to be, there might be other opportunities elsewhere to explore.
I want to ask both you guys this. What is one of the most surprising things, and I'll go with you first, Emma, about what surprised you the most working for the state of Minnesota and at your current job?
I think what surprised me the most was, you know, I have a really good work-life balance. You know, I have a really good supervisor, and I'm able to work from home a few days a week, as well as go into the office, but yet my job also entails some travel where I do have to go out to career fairs and, you know, find other events where I see MnDOT could take part in as far as just promoting our jobs, promoting the state. And so it's been a really good year so far. I'll be in a year next month. And so, it has been very surprising to me, but also in a good way.
Oh, that's good to hear. Rita, what's surprised you the most?
Can I say ditto? No, just kidding. One of the things that was really surprising is just seeing the continued commitment of tribal-state relations within MnDOT, which sounds kind of like a fed line, but it's not. I see it month after month where there is a lot of time dedicated to these trainings and follow-up and constant communications with our tribal partners that, you know, is an ongoing relationship. And it's like I said, it's really fulfilling. And I knew a little bit about the training prior to coming on, but there's just so much to go into it. And it's really, it's amazing.
So part of the training too is training the other workers there. And I imagine that there's a lot of, I did not know that kind of coming out of the other people that work for MnDOT, because there's not a lot of information about us 11 tribes or any Native things in the history books.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that, you know, I didn't learn a lot of stuff when I was in school. And I know that's similar to so many stories that we hear. And I think that's one of the fulfilling parts is when you see those eye opening, like, whoa, I didn't know that, which it's no one's fault currently, but it's something that we can now take that information and carry with us in our personal and professional lives.
Hey, we're here at Native Roots Radio and we're talking MnDOT, and we're going to take a quick break here. And you are listening to Native Roots Radio. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This November, we have a clear choice for who's truly fighting for our Indigenous communities in Minnesota. Democrats created the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force, made college tuition free for Native scholars, and legally affirmed our Native sovereignty. By signing co-stewardship agreements to manage federal lands, we return the lands of the Upper Sioux State Park to the Upper Sioux Tribe and over 11,000 acres back to the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwa. This November, vote for the party that stands with our community. Vote Democrat.
Paid for by the Minnesota Democrat Farmer Labor Party.
For everything you need to know about voting in Minnesota, visit the Secretary of State's website at mnvotes.org. Find out where to vote, check registration status, and view sample ballots. Again, for all your voting information, go to mnvotes.org.
Every day, our people suffer at the hand of domestic and sexual violence. But you are sacred and deserve to be safe in your own home. Strong Hearts Native Helpline is here to help. Native-centered, empowerment-based, trauma-informed advocates offer safety, sovereignty, and support. Call or text 844-7NATIVE to chat online. Visit www.strongheartshelpline.org. Reach out today.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, I want to welcome everyone back. We are with Emma and Rita, who work with MnDOT, the Minnesota Department of Transportation, and we're just kind of talking about, you know, their story and the things that the opportunities out there for working for MnDOT. And I want to welcome you guys back.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So, Haley, how do we learn more about MnDOT? I know there's a call to action here.
Yeah, well, I was looking up some of the open job positions earlier, and that was at dot.mn.us, and they have a whole list there, and it tells you the requirements and everything.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Hey, Rita, and this has really been informative, and I want to get back into a couple more questions because this is a shorter segment. You know, do people that are applying, do natives need a college degree to apply for this? And I'll ask Emma that.
No, it kind of depends on the job that you're applying for. Like if you are going into engineering, a lot of those positions does require a civil engineering degree and at least some sort of experience behind that. But you know, for the other positions, like as in general maintenance worker positions or like surveys or communications, a lot of the times, like a lot of the experience that one has coming into those positions would suffice. I mean, so, education is always a good thing to have behind you, regardless, but not necessary.
Cool. Hey, does MnDOT trains you then? So you can go in there with little or any information and come and get a job, Rita, that could start somebody young out at 18, 20 years old and a big career?
Yeah, and I only know a little bit, probably enough to make it dangerous, but I do believe I saw there was opportunities for youth for interning and just kind of shadowing, and then even on like a graduate level when folks graduate from college and doing rotations in different departments just to expose them to different jobs, different professions, and kind of, you know, see where that fit might be that you might not expect, and see if there's a match. So
did you have to go through that, or did you kind of know, Rita, what you wanted to do and applied for it and then got the job?
Yeah, I actually come from a little bit of a social work background, a little bit of communications background, and you know, I saw the opening as the Tribal State Relations Training Specialist, and I said, why not? Working for my tribal government has really helped me develop my skills that MnDOT was looking for at that time. So I, you know what, there was some on-the-job training on specific duties that would entail my position. But for the most part, I met the requirements. And, you know, you do learn on the job, especially I like to say that, you know, it takes a good 2 years in a position to really know the ins and outs of it.
Yeah. Well, Emma, what do you think? You know, did you have to learn a lot once you got your job, or you came in there with the skill set and just came running, or is there opportunity in MnDOT to really get some good training in what you're doing?
Yes, all of the above. I before this position, I was working for Leech Lake Tribal Government in Human Resources as an employee relations manager. And so it's a lot very different from what I do now in outreach and recruitment. But my experience working within Human Resources for Leech Lake really helped me gain the experience that I needed and that MnDOT was looking for. And so that's what had helped me. And so I'm also very thankful for my time that I spent at Leech Lake and then, you know, transitioning into MnDOT. But there is a lot of training involved and there's always lots of training offered. That's what's another nice thing about working for MnDOT is there's always constant trainings, you know, and everyone's so supportive in taking, having you take those opportunities. And so anytime there's a training or a lunch and learn, I always would hop on.
Yeah, those lunch and learns can really be really good. Rita, give me, we only got a couple more minutes left. Give me one big pitch, too, about how well and how much you enjoy working for the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Yes, and, you know, it kind of ties into a question that you asked a little bit ago about different benefits that the state offers. One thing that I'm actually participating in right now is the Leadership Development Program, where you sign up to be in this program for a year, and you can identify different different principles of leadership that you really want to strengthen in a year. And so right now I'm in that program, and I'm focusing on project management and strategic thinking. So, and that is for MnDOT exclusively, to take additional trainings or just having that intention for the next year. And for me, I love that. I love taking classes about leadership. I love doing some internal work and figuring out who am I as a leader or what are my weaknesses and trying to focus on those. So I think that is like, that's a great benefit that I didn't know existed prior to coming on to MnDOT. So, but my biggest thing is if there's an opportunity that comes your way, especially my native relatives that are listening, take it. You really don't know where it's going to land you or where it's going to lead you next. So thank you.
Yeah. Emma, Rita, that's exciting. Emma, do you have any, final words too, a big pitch on how much you like working for MnDOT?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I came in with, you know, not really knowing anything about the Department of Transportation. And so I've learned a lot, not only, you know, transportation wise, but also, you know, just working for the state. But it's been really good so far. You know, everyone's been very supportive. I have a lot of great colleagues that I now work with, and that helped me kind of develop my role. And so I'm just, you know, thankful for that. I'm glad that I took the opportunity that I did when I did. And so I'm looking forward to the future, you know, looking forward to maybe transferring elsewhere if another opportunity comes along, or staying within this position and just kind of, you know, maybe working my way up through human resources.
Well, I want to thank you both for being on. And one of the most exciting things that I got out of this is that the Minnesota Department of Transportation is working not exclusively, but with Native Americans and us. And that's really exciting to hear. And you two are great examples of working with MnDOT.
Thank you so much for having us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you too. And thank you, Emma, for stopping on. And Rita, really appreciate it. We'll have to do this again real soon.
Yeah, take care. Gigawabman.
Right on. We'll see you. See you, Emma. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow. What a great show as always, Haley. Just a lot of great information. Mm-hmm. Working with MnDOT, we just hear more and more how awesome that is.
Yeah, really. It has me considering a little part-time gig.
Easy. Yeah, you never know, right? Part-time? Right. For sure. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour finds us in Viroqua, Wisconsin, with Trigby Olson and Reed Galen. Come on downtown Viroqua and join us on the air.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.